We want to acknowledge and appreciate that prior to his sad departure, he gave us reports on the performance of these institutions. And we want to attest that we have continued to comply to whatever outcomes which they continued to tell us. Colleagues, the GCIS and the MGDA have received clean audit reports. Stability in and good governance and leadership in this institution has really assisted us to be where we are today. Chairperson, we continue to want to improve and to bring back good governance of these institutions, especially with GCIS, which for some time was not stable and did not even have a CEO for a very, very long time, just like GCIS. We want to ensure, we continue to want to ensure that we have efficiency and positive impact on delivering of their mandate. The Mr. Karim from GCIS and Ms. Zuki Swaposa and leading the delegation from MGDA will take us through to speak about what is it that we have been able to do and the positive income outcomes. Chairperson, we have noted that the Auditor General of South Africa, the improvement findings which they have given us, we are going to ensure that through the audit action plans, we work hard towards the expected results in the very same respect to improve moving forward. I am going to request that we give the Mr. Karim from GCIS, I'm not sure if the DG was trying to look, I did not see, but if she's here, let her lead the delegation and give a report. I saw Mr. Karim from GCIS. I also saw Ms. Support from MGDA, that they go through the presentations. Colleagues and members of the committee, just to note, the other issues is that, for example, with the plans for the 2020-2021, because of the pandemic, we have had to revise our APPs so that because there was budget cutting of budgets and other issues. So I'm going to request them that they take us through the committee. We are taking in light of the time that you have given us. And I agree with you, Chair, that we have given you reports on time. Yesterday, there were presentations, but also because continuously, we always come to the committee to give you reports. And therefore, the conversation that we're going to have is a continuation from somewhere else. It's not necessarily new. I'm going to request that GCIA leads, and then after that, MGDA. Please make sure you share the 10 minutes with you. 20 minutes. Thank you.
And then make out the video.
Oh, Mr. Kitumis is also here. Good morning. Okay.
Yes. Yes, Minister, I'm trying to connect this side. Where is it? Thank you. Thank you. Good morning, honorable members, as well as our Deputy Minister, Ms. Simweya. Am I audible?
Perfectly.
Perfectly audible.
Very audible, yeah, very audible.
Thank you very much. Good morning, Deputy Minister. Good morning, colleagues who are here, and honorable member. Like the Deputy Minister has already indicated, my name is Kitusi Makane. We apologize, Deputy Minister, for confusing a bit. The arrangement was that I will lead the presentation of the delegation. Michael will chip in where he is delegated to do. But first, let me tender the apology from our DG, Ms. Pumla Williams, who is attending a cabinet committee. I am with other colleagues, Mr. Tyrone Seal and the CFO, as well as our chief director, who is responsible for this area of SPPM. I don't know if Chairperson, they can introduce themselves so that at least you see the faces. Chairperson?
You know, I don't mean to, I'm not the chair, I'm not sure why he's not responding. You are to the 20 minutes.
Okay.
They will introduce themselves in they're going to answer or chip into the
presentation. Okay. Yes. Okay. Thank you very much, Deputy Minister. All right. The presentation is for the 2019-20 annual report, as we have prepared it. And it has got three areas that we are going to look at. We've got our strategic objective, we've got our mandate, as well as our key highlights. And then the last area is the targets that we have, with the ones that we have achieved and the ones that we did not achieve. And then the last one is about the finances, where our CFO is going to lead us. And like it has been requested already, I'm not going to go through my slides, but really to highlight the key performances that we achieved in the year under review. I think right from the start, Chairperson and honorable members, as well as the Deputy Minister, our mandate of GCIS is anchored in our ability to strengthen our democracy by ensuring that relevant information and dynamic interaction with the public is maintained. That is the premise of our democracy. And for the past year, the one that we are reporting on, our financial resources really were concentrated and directed in packaging largely the content that supported our drive to stop GBVF by raising awareness and empowering of the victims of gender-based violence. We also concentrated our efforts in exposing the acts of corruption, both within the public service and the private sector. Another thing that we did, which made sure that we really meet our mandate, is the interaction, which we ensured by making sure that government information dissemination is done to the maximum, and by also ensuring that we empower the society through face-to-face communication, by making sure that the website of government is filled with content that enable the society to be empowered. We also interacted with the media. We made use of social media to make sure that really communication is disseminated through various media. And we also made sure that we engaged with the media. The other thing that we did, which is a highlight, is to make sure that we comply with both the PFMA and the Public Service Act, to ensure that there was full compliance with clean governance. By doing that, Chairperson, as well as the members, we were able to make sure that we get a clean audit. And this, we are proudly saying, we got it through us, by ensuring that for the 6th year in a row, where we attained this clean audit.
Parliament, my colleagues in the other departments, GCIS, GCDT, and sister entities. Honorable members, this is the MDDA's presentation. I will lead it, and the CFO will just take us through the financials, maybe one or two slides. In the interest of time, I will also be just, I think, making highlights and giving highlights as opposed to going through the entire presentation. Okay. So I'm going to fly through these strategic objectives and all these other slides and zoom straight and get to the point. This is our performance in terms of a three-year trend, where we can see the growth in terms of improvement, in terms of our performance, starting with 2017, 2018, up to date, where we're saying that we achieved more, four more percent as we than we achieved last year. The other important aspect is that we achieved a clean audit for the 2019 financial year. So we had 19 targets, and we achieved 16 of those planned targets. And these are just key highlights that the MDDA actually are following the lifting of the moratorium by the minister in the presidency in June last year, was able to fill two critical positions in the executive in the past financial year. So in January, both the executive for the project, which is core business, honorable members, and that of the CEO were filled. In fact, the entire executive is here. The only position that has not been filled in the executive, which has got an acting incumbent, is that one of strategy research, and we've got Ms. Lenbridge acting in it. I think it's important for me to spend not a bit of time, but just to mention, to highlight that some of the things that we did at the MDDA was to stabilize the project environment by developing and getting approval from the board of the first ever grant funding policy. And we also put in place risk management and anti-fraud fraud prevention policies and strategies. In fact, we are proud to say that we eventually outsourced the whistleblowing mechanisms to make it easy for people that would like to report us on fraud or any other person who would be involved in fraud in the MDDA through that service provider. We then, and I'm not going to belabor the point, but it is important to say that we also introduced a call for applications as opposed to the daily walk-ins, the daily applications, and so forth. And we also did so under the research and training, where we found a situation where the sector was driving what we were implementing in the MDDA. So anyone could submit a training or research proposal without being solicited, and we must choose from them without any guidance or without us saying this is what we need. Now we are out issuing RFQs, because eventually we developed a training strategy, a research strategy, and those were complemented by plans. We have consulted broadly, including the commercial print media. However, it is unable to support us financially at this point. We have, I think we said this throughout the year, last year, that we've signed a three-year agreement with MultiChoice, which is 40 million. It's also for the first time at that amount. And the board also approved the 20 million emergency relief at the end of March. In terms of Centec, the new strategy for us, and we will be making a presentation to the board on other options that we have, painting scenarios to the board on how we manage this Centec debt. But at the end of March, the board also approved around 18 million on Centec debt. In terms of Competition Commission, because I think it has been a sticky point, we have now commenced implementing the MOU that was signed between the two entities in 2017. And we are actually busy with sector capacity building. We've done a skills assessment or audit, and we've completed it in this financial year, and that will drive the strategy. In fact, we have, as of yesterday, submitted a proposal driven by the skills assessment research that we did to the MICT CETA that we've already signed an MOA with to assist us achieve our training imperatives of the MDDA. What is also crucial is that in trying to stabilize the organization, the board also approved a regraded and amended organogram. MDDA has always had 39 staff members. We added two new junior positions in the projects unit just to strengthen that. We had no terminations. We only had one labor matter. And as of, because of the moratorium and because I think the board took a decision that it would actually fill positions from the top so that the executive could actually fill the positions under them. So by the end of March, we're sitting at 26% in terms of vacancy rate. I'm happy to report, as I present here today, that to date we are sitting at 4% in terms of vacancy rate. So it has gone down significantly. And like any other entity, we then had to go into lockdown and we had to repurpose and realign our targets with in line with the lockdown regulation. So we had to virtualize some of the targets that we had to implement. In terms of program one, it's a clean audit. And if you look at the slide where we did not achieve one of the research, in fact, all the targets that were not achieved are in the research area. One of them is the study in ownership and control in South Africa. Eventually, we have repurposed again that target, and we are doing a sustainability research instead. However, there's also other research that we've done following last year's inability to achieve some of the research targets that we, as I've said, we have done. We've conducted the skills assessment audit, and we also have just finalized now a digital migration strategy, which is one of the researches that were not achieved in the previous financial year. So I'll just fly through all the ones that we've achieved. In terms of the research targets there, you'll see that instead of three, we achieved one. And again, I'm saying in terms of how we've caught up, it's these two research programs that I'm talking about, digital migration and the skills audit. And I will pause from here and the CFO can take over, please. Thank you, CFO.
Good morning, Deputy Minister, Chair, members of the committee, and my colleagues. Chair, I'm going to try and be as quick as you requested from us. For the current financial year, Chair, we've had some savings, especially within the expenditure lines. Within our revenue, we've generated, we've collected all the money from our broadcast funders. Grant incomes is in terms of the accounting standards, we recognize the revenue in terms of when we implement. Thus, you'll see there's a slight underachievement in terms of grants. And that goes together with the grant expenditure. In terms of interest, which due to the higher interest rates that have been paid and the surplus that we've had, we earned sufficiently more money. With regard to grant expenditure, in terms of the way the MDA's business operates, the CEO spoke to the approvals that took place in the end of March. As a result of those first tranches being paid in April, you see a slight underspend at the end of the financial year, but that is all caught up as the payments, the first tranches, second, third, fourth tranches are paid during the financial year as we go. Employee costs, with regard to the 26% vacancy that the CEO spoke to, that's the savings. Board cost, Chair, the meetings were moved a lot more efficiently. The board meetings were a lot less, but a lot more decisions took place than it was in the previous financial year, and that's we see savings. Administration costs, we see a slight saving, Chair. We were able to renegotiate our lease contract, etc., and we were able to make some savings. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, committee members.
Thank you, CFO. Thank you very much, honourable members. Just to mention also that the MDDA, in terms of the budget cuts, has not amended its APP. We're just going on to a strategic planning session, I think, for the second round on the 3rd of December with the board, because we've got four new board members, and that is for the 2021-2022 upwards of the MTF planning. Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson.
Thank you, MTDA. As I said, Honourable members would indeed take comments, questions with regard to GCIS and MDDA, so that the Deputy Minister at the time of leaving the meeting would have engaged their presentation. May I then recognize members who would want to speak at this point? You will also help me on that side in terms of the hands that...
Yes, Chairperson.
Yes.
So it's Ms. Sparkle, Mr. McKenzie, Ms. Van.
So those are the three hands for now. In that order, Honorable Farku, Honorable McKenzie, Honorable Van.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Greetings to yourself, greetings to the Deputy Minister, greetings to Honourable Members and the teams that from both Deputy Minister and Minister Ndabeni's team. Chair, let us appreciate both presentations. I think, Chair, let us congratulate GCIS for the good work they have done. Even yesterday, when we met the AG, AG was very impressed with the work that GCIS is doing. And I think as a portfolio committee, we've been consistent to congratulate them. But of course, there are areas where one thing they need to improve. But before I go there, Chair, let us appreciate again the appointment of the CFO. We also appreciate that it's a woman, and I hope that she understands that her, the responsibility that is on her shoulders to make sure that GCIS keeps the momentum of receiving a clean audit. We appreciate the emancipation of women. Chair, I think it's important that some of the issues which might not directly affect GCIS, some of the AG findings in other entities is the feeling of vacancy. I think that is important. We need to take it in consideration that all vacancies must be filled, in when it comes to GCIS. But we want really to thank them for the good work they have done. For the targets not achieved, hopefully in the next financial year we would not have the same problems. But really, really, GCIS is doing a very great job. When I go to MGTA, also they've also received a clean audit. Let us appreciate that. Under the circumstances, they've achieved 16 out of 19 targets, which is good. But one would also again say that it is important that vacancies that are not filled need to be filled in. They see that they've changed their strategy when it comes to research where they did not meet their target. But otherwise, we must appreciate the good work that Minister Mthembu and Deputy Ministers were doing with GCIS and MPDA. I think that we are proud, but one would want to see more as we are moving forward. But Chair, I don't think there is much because both of them have received the clean audit. Even with AG yesterday, AG was satisfied with the work they have done. But I think in our previous meeting, we've made recommendations to say that MTTA, we understand you have this partnership with multi-choice, but we also want to see it with the SABC. And the CEO has assured us of the of the communication between themselves and the SABC. But because we just appointed a board, one appreciate a special post, junior post, but maybe they saw a need to fill those two posts. So we appreciate the good work that the board of the FDA is doing thus far. And as the board, we have the full confidence that they will do what is expected of them. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Fako. I now recognize Honorable Mackenzie.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. Good morning to you. Good morning, Deputy Minister. Nice to meet you. And colleagues all and colleagues from the entities. Firstly, once again, I need to echo Honourable Fakou and just congratulate both GCIS and MDDA for your clean audits. It looks like we've taken this presentation session and separated the class into the naughty boys. We're still going to come to them. They're sitting in a corner, but you guys are definitely shining and parat in the front row. So congratulations for that. If I can just ask the MDDA on the document that I received, and you know, this is quite arbitrary, but the document that I received appeared to be very badly formatted and it looked very bad if I opened it on my iPad or on my MacBook, which is my desktop computer. And I just wonder if that's the formatting for Mac or does the formatting really look like that? So in other words, if I opened it on a, say, Microsoft Word or something, would the formatting be correct? Then secondly, and I'm going to ask this question to all the entities and the department, How many of these annual reports do you plan to print this year, given that we have the Department of Communications and Digital Technologies, and I think COVID has brought us rather shockingly into the digital age. So I'd be curious to know how much money you're going to spend on printing this annual report, if at all. Then just on again, to talk about the formatting, it's really the only thing I can find to call you out on. On page 89, you've got Brenda Leonard, one of your new directors, and the L is not capitalized in her name. And so again, perhaps you can just assist me on that. Then on 6.12, the notes to your financial statements, under point 20, if you're with me, administration expenses, you've got your cleaning expenses went from, and I presume this is an actual number and not thousands, went from 3,782 Rand to 22,410. Can you tell me why there was that sort of increase? Your professional services, which I presume we're contracting out, I was pleased to see declined by 70,000 Rand. Can you tell me what those professional services are for and how long we can expect to see this continuing in your financials? Then also your refuse increase from 4,000 to 18,000. It's not as if you had a board to clear out. why is that increase? And then you've got 5.9 million, I presume it is, in other admin costs. Can you just tell me what falls under those admin costs? Then we had a presentation yesterday from the Auditor General, and it's so unfortunate that so many of our entities appear to have fallen down the terrible trap of fruitless and wasteful expenditure or irregular expenditure. And I noticed that this year, correct me if I'm wrong, there's no irregular expenditure in the entity, which is really good news. But there's a 49 million carryover from the previous year. It's broken down into two different amounts. I think one's about 10 million, the other's 39 million. You mentioned condonation. Do you have any further information on whether these amounts are going to be condoned by National Treasury? Thank you. That's my questions for MDDA. And once again, my congratulations. Perhaps it's something to do with your deputy minister and your minister. Your minister is always very suave, Minister Ntembe. He's always very suave and very polite and very, very, very gentlemanly and very gracious. I compare him to some other ministers, and I just find him quite a pleasant man to deal with. In terms of GCIS, oh yes, there's an opportunities booklet that you've printed. Let me sorry, please bear with me. Under performance highlights, number two, profiling the economic interventions, the new launch of the newness and Bucky by the president. Then you say economic opportunities booklet by GCIS, youth environmental services. And then you've got another within that bullet point. You've got another thing that says job placement program. That's also bolded. I'm just wondering if that's a separate point or does it form part of that same booklet? And then you talk about a cooperative incentive scheme for people to start a chicken farm. I'm a great believer in people farming chickens. I think it's a tremendous opportunity for everybody. But can you just tell me a bit more about those booklets? How many did you print? What was their purpose? That sort of thing. That's GCI Sundana. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Appreciate the indulgence.
Honorable Mackenzie, Honorable Van Dam, I now recognize. May I also check, Angela, if you can help me with other ends of the...
Thank you, Chairperson. I think my colleague, Honourable Mackenzie, has covered me quite a bit on the more technical questions, and it is quite comforting to see that
in an era where a lot of state-owned entities are struggling to see that NDDA and GCIS got clean audits. As we discussed last meeting, a good audit is good because it means you're managing your money properly. But the issues that we spoke about digitizing government services, I think someone turned their mic on. The issues about digitizing your services, I think in terms of policy, that's where you need to start focusing your attention. With the portfolio of communications and digital technologies, but I often think that we forget the digital technologies part of it. Many African countries have now taken the opportunity of COVID to learn, how to make sure that services are more available online. So I think at our next meeting, I would like to hear more future-centric plans and not more of the same thing. If we are going to talk about the fourth industrial revolution, it shouldn't just be a buzzword, but it must be something that is followed with implementation. So well done on spending your money correctly. And now what needs to be focused on is policies that are going to take this government to the next level and make sure that the whatever role that you have, you have an important role to have in contributing towards a digital economy, which has the great potential to create a lot of new employment opportunities. Just to echo those words that we said last week, and kudos on the clean audit, but now what we will be focusing on is, at least I'll be focusing on, and Arnold McKinsey will be focusing on, is your policies that are designed to take South African services a little bit more digital. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Van Dam. May I just check if I have not left any member?
Ms. Kubeka, Chair.
Honourable Kubeka, I now recognize you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much. Firstly, let me greet all colleagues that are present today. And also let me greet all different delegates that are representing their entities for this meeting today, Chair. Also, Chair, let me appreciate and acknowledge this presentation that that the entity have been presented to us, actually the MDDA and the GCIS. Chair, there's nothing so much. Because, you know, we become very much motivated when it comes to the side of the GCIS because we are very much aware for all these, I'm sure it's 7 years successfully so, being receiving a clean audit. It's not a child's play to maintain, Chair, but now GCIS has proven to us to say there is nothing which is difficult to manage if you understand what you are doing in your entity. So thanks very much. Congratulations to that side, because now we can see indeed there is a serious progress on that side of the GCIS. And also I would like just to thank MDDA also on the side of saying GCIS, now you can see that it's managing, supporting, backupping on the side of the MDDA, because now we can see also on the side of the MDDA to say there is a progress, they are moving. Also, I'm saying congratulations to them with the clean audit. And let me appreciate on the side of appointing also on those key vacancies. Indeed, we are still there. We are still intact to say, Amakosikazi, we are still supporting to say, let them lead. Let them give the direction. So thanks very much, because I can see they have already managed to fill Congratulations to the CFO, also on the side of the MGTA. So can I just ask only one thing also, just to have an interaction maybe with these entities to another entities that we are actually in support of them, in order that they can give us that skill that they are using just to push these other entities to come in that a clean audit, as we are appreciating, Chair. Thanks very much.
Honorable Kubeka, I would now give over to Chisayas, MTDA, as led by the Deputy Minister, to respond to some of those questions or comments made that don't want to respond to. I must also recognize that the Minister of DCTT has joined the meeting as requested, and we do understand, Minister, that you have to balance between this committee and the obligation on the side that also needs you physically in attendance. And I'm sure after that engagement, we'll release you to go back. But we do appreciate that you are able to get back to the committee on this matter of interest in the country. Can I then give
thank
over
you.
To
thank you, Chair. Thank you, colleagues, for the input. We appreciate that you are happy that we are working. It remains our intention, like I said when in the opening, that we will want to do more and improve, and that the clean audit must continue. Honorable Faku, on the issue of GCIS and the vacancies, I can safely confirm to you that together with the minister as a ministry, we have been engaged in a process of filling vacancies of DDGs. We are left with one. We've had two interviews last week, I think on a Monday and a Friday, for two DDGs. We are going to be conducting another interview for another DDG on the 23rd of November. Now, that means that in terms of the hierarchy of the institution, all those vacancies shall have been filled. As you can see today, we have brought in a new CFO, and we remain committed to ensuring that 90% vacancy rate has not been realized. Honorable Mackenzie, yeah, so the one that you were asking, I'm going to request that both entities, they reply to them. We are questioning the numbers of how many are we going to be printing. I'm going to request that CEO and the acting DDGs from GCIS, if you can please respond to the question about the numbers. If you're not sure about the numbers, let us not necessarily commit on the numbers. If we're not sure, we can bring back the response in writing to yourselves if we're not sure. Honorable Van Dam, luckily, because of the pandemic, I'm not sure if I can call it luck. Maybe it's not necessarily luck. We have had to revise our APPs. Our 2020-2021 APPs have been revised. You know that because of budget cuts, we've also had to be creative in whatever we are doing. And maybe if time permits, I'm just going to request that, especially the CEO of MGDH, just give highlights about what is our plan in relation to digitalizing and ensuring that community media expands in that regard. Honorable Kubeka, thank you for the well words that you are saying. We don't take them light. We really want to come back to the committee year in, year out, to come and work with you, and you not complaining that we are not able to perform and so on. So I'm going to request that you respond to the other ones. And then, Chair, I'm requesting that I leave. Thank you.
Thank you, Deputy Minister.
Honorable Chair, if you, with your permission, I can definitely speak to the question raised by
the... Yes, proceed.
Well, firstly, thank you, Honorable Members. I think, Honorable Chair, I really do want to reiterate the wording of sincere and humble appreciation to every member of this committee for the words that have been given. They're very inspiring. They keep us on our toes, and they enable us as management, Honorable Chair, to go back to our teams and say, look, you've got to improve here, but the members of our committee are saying these things. And remember, honourable members, we go out all over South Africa, particularly through our provinces. So it's very inspiring, and we will assure you from these teams that we'll continue working with this degree of diligence. And I do want to also just say that on the question Honourable McKenzie asked, so thank you very much, honourable members, for the affirmation. Honourable McKenzie did a very, very gracious question, and I'd like to tell you why. Because we've made the adaptation. This is something I'm very proud of. In the economic cluster team, we have quite a dynamic group of young chaps working there, young folks working there. So what they've been doing, Honourable McKenzie, is when the clusters are meeting and having their different work, they turn the content of the cluster work into an electronic newsletter. So all of these good news stories, these explanation of what is localization, they've developed for the economic cluster an electronic bulletin. So there's two answers to the question. Firstly, it's electronic. We've had about two or three editions last year of this economic opportunities booklet. It showcases different areas at different times. So as you've seen, when we were doing community property associations and how they can benefit from the CIS scheme, and we gave those local good news stories. So there's that element. But secondly, honourable members and honourable McKenzie, remember in the provincial offices of GSAS. Now, honourable McKenzie, I'd be pressurised to give you a number yet, because we don't. I'd have to go back and check the details. But the provincial offices of GSAS do use the electronic one as well. But what they do sometimes is when they go on some of the outreaches, which I've shared with the members before, they actually will print that booklet because some of the constituencies that we would reach through our district office wouldn't be able to access it electronically. So we do a combination of the print, mostly electronic, but when we go out in the field, our district offices, and they love it, Honourable McKenzie, because you can imagine giving a 4 or 5 page A4, and look, they're not fancy, Honourable McKenzie. These, we're not talking here about the annual report kind of thing you were talking. We go, we put it on our photocopy machine, and we whack it out so that young people can get information, and we copy it in that format. So it's not a big printing exercise or anything like that. But I could go and drill down with our provincial offices. We do keep quite a regular audit of our print, if you would like that number. But that's the answer to the question. And I must say, it's been so exciting because it's that thing that honourable members are speaking about, empowering women, empowering youth. You know, Honourable Chair, our young members, it was their idea. They came forward and said to us, you know what, we can't print, it's expensive. Why don't we create this electronic booklet? So it was such an exciting thing that the young team did. So Honourable Chair, that's the response I give to the members on that one. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Honourable Chairperson, I think with regard to the question that was asked by an honourable member, McKenzie, about the annual report, the number of copies that we are going to print, I am happy to report that last year we did 1,950, but given the budget cuts that we have just experienced recently, we are still looking into the availability of funds, and where we are sitting, we don't think we will still do this very number, but we will see what is reasonable and be able to can print. We are faced with these challenges of our budget cuts, but we will see what is affordable and what is reasonable. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, today.
Thank you. Okay. Honourable Chair. Thank you, Honourable Chair. Yes. So on the issues raised by Honourable Fagu, I think first we must appreciate the sentiments shared and echoed by the honourable members here. But I think for us as the MDDA achieving a clean audit, we really owe it to one. The minister who has been described very kindly by Honourable McKenzie. By the way, Honourable McKenzie, that is the way we're feeling our minister as well. That's how we know him, that he smiles, he's gentle even when he's upset with you. We cannot forget that the Honourable Minister has been where we've been if we were with the commercial print houses or sector, she was there with us. If we were launching new radio stations, she was there with us on the ground. Deputy Minister Siweya likes being on the ground. So we honestly, genuinely just, I think, appreciate their leadership, the leadership of the board, and I think the staff at large that came together to ensure that we achieve a clean audit. Last week, honourable members, we presented on digital digitization of the sector and also on the mitigation of CENTEC. And I did highlight in the slide that in digitization of the sector, the MDDA is still at a planning stage. Remember, we said that at the time we had a digital migration strategy, and I highlighted some of the preliminary findings. In fact, that strategy has now been submitted this week. It's no longer a draft. It does find that nearly all stations have some form of social media platforms such as Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, SoundCloud, and websites, and that some of the websites were even listed as were requested by Honorable Van Dam to say which projects are actually online, which ones are digital, which ones are printing, and we gave that list to the committee. So that is where we are. Honorable members, when we went to the August 2020 consultative conference on sustainability research, we consciously took a decision to say our slogan for the sector would be building a resilient and future-forward sector. And those are the things that we are now building, we're putting our building blocks on, that we have met with independent media, and it's got a wing or division called Vault Africa. They've even agreed for us to send our digital people that are going to be responsible for digitization of the sector to them for understudy. And so there's a lot of, I think, if we've given a space to then interact with the digital migration strategy, we will then come back to the committee with more solid interventions or more solid plans on how we are going to move forward in this area. In terms of what Honorable Faku is raising, you must remember it arose because of my presentation on the digitization of the sector, that we had a preliminary agreement with MultiChoice to include audio radio stations on their DSTV bouquet, audio bouquet. Honorable members, having seen and understood to the board, we have interacted with the SABC. We have also interacted with CENTEC. And we are pleased to mention that CENTEC has confirmed that they've got a satellite audio channel, whereas we are speaking with the SABC on its DTT multiplex platform. So once all those discussions and the board has ventilated on these issues, we will come back to the committee and provide feedback. I think I'm dealing with both Honorable Faku and Honorable Van Dam's matters. In terms of Honorable Mackenzie and the document, I'm not sure what has happened, Honorable Mackenzie, because some of my colleagues are using MacBooks. I'm not using a MacBook. What we tried doing, because we're going to table a soft copy, we tried making it light so that it was able to go through. So I'm not sure if the challenges you've had with the formatting of the document is a result of us trying to make the document transferable and emailable to the members. In terms of the numbers of the annual reports that we're going to print, we are going to print 200 annual reports, mainly for our stakeholders, which is the funders and potential funders. We normally would have an annual event to account back to the commercial funders. And we would also invite potential funders. It's important for me on this note, I will hand over to the CFO to deal with the questions on financials and the numbers that Honorable Mackenzie is mentioning. But it's also important for me to mention that in as far as funding the agency or the sector is concerned, that we're busy with a funding strategy which will emanate into a fundraising plan. And again, the minister has offered to assist us where he can. And again, the area that we would like to tap into is the foreign donors or foreign donations which are provided for in our act. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you very much, Honorable Members. Over to you, CFO.
Thank you, CEO. Thank you, Chair. Chair, to try and respond to Honourable Member McKenzie's questions quickly. With regards to the changes in cleaning services and refuse, Chair, this is part of the improvements that we as the MDDA have done in the current financial in terms of reporting, where we've noted that some of the numbers were cumulatively lumped in other lines, so we've tried to disclose it separately, thus the increase. With regard to the professional services, Honourable McKenzie, this includes costs, for example, when we contract out certain aspects of the internal audit work where we don't have sufficient capacity and we don't want to increase the capacity because the element of the work is a once-off thing per year or every second or third year. And it also includes some elements of legal costs. As the CEO presented in the annual report, there was one legal matter that was being dealt with, which went through the current year. With regard to the 5.9 million, that includes costs, for example, as traveling and rental costs. Chair, the traveling cost in the MDA, one would know, is quite extensive for traveling in terms of going to province, looking into projects, seeing where projects are, doing evaluations, etc. So those are probably the bigger costs that are included in those lines. Thank you, Chair. Honourable McKenzie, I hope I've answered all your questions. Oh, I think, Chair, I forgot one last one. With regard to the condemnation applications, Chair, the condemnation application was approved by the board. It was sent to National Treasury, Chair. We are currently waiting for a response from them. Follow-ups have been made. We're waiting for follow-ups to confirm whether the condemnation is accepted or not, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, TM and the team for the responses. I take it that honorable members, your comments and questions would have been clarified, and I take the opportunity to once again on behalf of the committee thank the GCIS and MDDA team for achieving a clean audit, and we also appreciate the plans in place to improve performance on areas where there would have been slow or no achievement given the challenges of the time. But we are confident that you'll still come back to the committee, especially on those matters of digitalization strategy, as well as the research on, especially with the MDDA, on the sustainability of the community media. And I'm sure you would be able to come back on us on that. Otherwise, keep going. I think that's the message from the committee. We would release, as I said, the Deputy Minister to also attend to the task, as well as CIS and MDDA if they are so in a rush to attend to other matters, would allow you to work those numbers and reach out the areas you need to distribute information. So in that score, I would really thank you. And I would come to the Department of Communications and Digital Technologies. I had indicated the honorable members that we have asked the minister to just come back a bit, even though, Minister, the apology was presented to the committee. But because of this other matter in relation to SAC, we thought that the minister would be able to take us into confidence on that. We'll then take the CETA presentation after the annual report.
Chairperson,
that K2?
Yes, Chairperson. I just wanted to just to conclude this thing by saying, when we presented, we didn't mention our revised annual performance plans, but just to mention that we didn't do much in terms of revising. There were only three areas where we revised our targets downwards, and it was just mainly because of limited funds, as the Treasury kept on cutting our budget. But otherwise, all the activities and the undertakings are still the same, just the targets that were reduced in three areas. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, no, thank you, Mr. Keto. But we have noted it before when we're having engagement with the GCIS, that they would have spoken to that. I think that's the reason we didn't really get to it. MDDA has also repeated the same in terms of what is the actual focus for the outliers of the MTF. So it's fine. But as I said, I'm trying to really balance the time that we allow the minister to come in. I hope, Minister, you can hear me loud and clear.
Yes, Chairperson, I hear you.
Yes,
Honourable Chairperson, members of Parliament, thank you for affording us an opportunity, and good morning to you all. Just as you mentioned, Chairperson, I want to give a brief on what we have all seen happening on television. Yesterday evening, on the 17th of November, ourselves as the shareholder representatives convened an urgent meeting with the board of SABC. Of course, this was prompted by the developments witnessed on TV, which we perceived to be a crisis situation. Together with the deputy minister whom SABC is delegated to within the ministry, we gave the board an opportunity to explain what was happening against the background of the turnaround strategy currently unfolding in the SABC. In our early interaction with the board, we implore them to circumspect in managing employee-related matters in the implementation of the turnaround strategy, especially with the possible retrenchment. We advise that they should strictly adhere to the provisions of the Labor Relations Act and other prescriptions, that they should conduct skills audit to enable them to deal with the specifics of the individuals and find acceptable fallback options, and that they should meticulously be procedural and uphold fairness all the way. In our view, resorting to Section 189 of the Labor Relations Act should be the last resort when all options have been explored in order to avoid job losses. The GTEC staff optimization has similar recommendations on handling staff-related matters during the implementation of the turnaround strategy. Whilst we recognize that SABC has a legal standing, the shareholder has the responsibility to make certain interventions within the confines of the law. When SABC was faced with a financial crisis, we intervened and we managed to secure a bailout. It was in the same spirit that we deemed it necessary to offer our suggestion to the board. However, both the department and GTEC views were not taken into consideration. After engagements facilitated by the CCMA could not yield immediate results, the board moved in speed to invoke the Labor Relations Act, Section 189, which has widened the gap between the SABC and the trade union. We afforded every board member an opportunity to express their view on the situation as it obtains at SABC now. After hours of discussion, what became clear is that the board is split into two on how to manage the situation. One group holds a view that says implement Section 189, and the other group holds a view that says explore all other options before invoking Section 189, because it goes with the most adverse effects on workers at a time when the whole country is undergoing economic strain exacerbated by COVID-19. The differences between the two groups reduce the hope that on their own they are capable of resolving the problems of the company. In our view, there is no other way. A negotiated settlement of the matter is necessary, but it will take involvement of government multi-stakeholder joint effort to solve the SABC problem, which is vital in a strategic entity that operates directly in the public terrain. This morning, I met with the minister responsible for employment and labor in our country, and we will be engaging further, including with those ones that are affected. It is in this context that we would like to implore that the portfolio committee members collectively to put their weight behind finding solution to the SABC crisis. As I mentioned earlier, the differences shown by the board amongst themselves are really a problem and therefore do not inspire confidence on the fact that they are able to provide a strategic leadership on their own. Chairperson, this is a brief from the meeting that we held, which is why we are appealing to yourself to find a solution that can help SABC to be able to deal with the crisis that it is faced with. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Honorable Minister. Honorable members, as I would have indicated, the minister also needs to attend to the site where she also needs to be present physically. I'm sure before we release you, Minister, it will just be a question of whether there's clarity in what you've said that could not be heard clearly by members. But I understand it that the Portfolio Committee itself, as it has been engaged in this engagement process with SABC, which will also happen this evening again, we were to come back to a point collectively of saying what is to be done having had these engagements. But in case there are members who would want to get clarities or make comment now, you can do that so that the minister can address you. Honorable members, may I then recognize the hands of those who may want to ask clarities now. Honorable Faku, followed by Honorable Adam. I hope I've not left anyone. Honorable Kubeka will then follow. Honorable Mlala, oh, you want to show your hand? Then there's Honorable Pambo, followed by Honorable Mlala. In that order, Honorable Faku, followed by Honorable Fandi, followed by Honorable Kubeka, Honorable Pambo, and Honorable Mlala.
Thank you very much, Chair. Greetings to yourself again and to Minister and to Honorable Members. Chairperson, I think let us appreciate the effort that the Minister.
Pambo, are you raising a point of order? Honorable Pambo? Can you hear us?
Yes, I was just raising my
hand. No, I have recognized you, Honorable Pambo. I will be calling you when to speak, but I've recognized you immediately after Honorable Kubeka. Then you'll be followed by Honorable Mlala. All right. Thank you. Sorry, Honorable Faku. We can then proceed now.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think let us appreciate the response that we are getting from the Minister. I think really, because it was very bad of what we saw yesterday on the media. So we appreciate the effort that she has taken to be able to engage the board yesterday, but also to take the tune that you have given us, the guide to say that we are meeting with the SABC later on and further discuss this matter. But I think as a committee, we've been very firm on the issue of retrenchment, but I don't want to say much because we still have to engage the SABC. Let us appreciate the effort that has been taken. We want to call on the board and the members of the SABC for us to handle this matter in a way that that is human, that what we have seen yesterday must never happen again. There must be stability in government entities. What we have seen yesterday, the public on social media were not happy of what transpired yesterday on the SABC. But we appreciate the guidance from the minister. Thank you very much.
Honorable Van Dam, I now recognize you.
Thanks, Chairperson. I would just like to preface my contribution to saying that what we saw yesterday was indeed disturbing. I sympathize very greatly with the SABC staff who have lived through years of trauma, firstly under the the terrorizing by the Hlaudi Motsoeneng era, as we so call it, and the reality that they might lose their jobs. So I fully appreciate that, and I fully feel the pain. No one can ever celebrate anyone losing their job. Now, we will engage with the SABC later, but for the minister, one, I think we should always avoid playing politics with the matter. And I am pleased that she has responded in a manner that does not seek to overstep the mandates of the minister vis-a-vis the SABC. So I'm glad that there's been a change of tune there. And you know, the SABC's independence is from the minister is being adhered to. But here's my issue. The department and the minister consistently speak of other options. What are those other options? And it almost feels like it is in fact being backed to parliament to consider what those options are. The minister's role, her mandate as it relates to this department is to draft policy. So we can't keep being told about other options. You must lay out what those options are. What options do they have other than part of the precondition from National Treasury for the bailouts was that there needs to be staff numbers need to be reduced. It was a recommendation of the SABC inquiry. It's a undisputable fact that the SABC staff is bloated. And it is quite unfortunate that the process of essentially people losing their jobs has to happen. But I think it is not something that's entirely unique to the SABC. It has happened to Prime Media, and I'm sure it has happened to other media houses. So I want to hear solutions. I don't want to hear problems from the minister. I want to hear, if not retrenchments, what are you going to do? For example, the SABC told us that they needed 700 million if they were to keep their staff. Is that 700 million going to be provided as the alternative solution? And then just speaking broadly about the SABC's funding model, there is what is called the unfunded mandate, which we have discussed extensively, which we cannot ignore because it affects the bottom line. So what from the department side, from the minister's side, is the solution to the unfunded mandate? Because I believe you need to give us the policy, right? Because that's the minister's job. You need to give us the policy. We consider it. We have committed, and I think as parliament, as this committee, we have engaged extensively with the unions, with the staff, with the board, and we have committed to sit down and talk about this further. But what is missing for me is the solutions from your side. It is not our role is one of oversight. And in fact, as it relates to this specific matter, Parliament cannot tell the SABC to halt retrenchments. Parliament, we have tried mediating what is a complex situation. And in terms of the law, the bodies that conduct that mediation is the CCMA, it's the Labour Court. So in terms of what the final say is of the process and whether it was wrong or correct, that's where it lies. It's not for us, because it is impossible for us to sit in a meeting and decide who is right and who is wrong. Our role is to listen to both sides and conduct oversight. So I would be interested in perhaps, Chair, if this is something to consider. In hearing from the CCMA themselves, because we're hearing different sides of the story. So I just don't want our role to be misunderstood. And the minister speaks about the board being split, which is a problem for me, because once, if history shows us, once there's acrimony in the board, there starts to be resignations, and then we're back to square one. So I'd like to know specifically what the numbers of disagreement are. Because I think in any organization, there will always be a dissenting argument. I think even on this committee, we don't agree on everything. There'll always be dissent. But ultimately, what happens is if consensus can't be sought, it goes down to a vote. So did a vote take place about 189? What were the numbers of dissension? Because ultimately, the way the decision is made is by one where if not consensus, it goes down to the vote. And if the majority wins, then that's the decision that's taken. So I do not want a situation where we must now go in and manage the board's affairs, because that's not our role either. We can't now go in and say, well, three people disagreed, therefore thus, the majority that agreed doesn't matter. So these are the issues that I would like answers from. What is the alternative solution that's spoken about? Where is the money going to come from for the 700 million? Where is the money going to come from the unfunded mandate? Oh, and one point where the minister said a negotiated settlement that involves government. I think that would go against the law because there's a very quite clear process where the independence of the board is sought. So if there's a negotiated settlement, so to speak, it is the position that is to be taken by the SABC, by the CCMA and the Labour Court, and it is not one that should have political involvement, because we can't play politics, because this has to be this has to do with people's livelihoods, it has to do with their jobs, it has to do with a public broadcaster that I think everyone here agrees needs to stay afloat. And we do not want a situation in a year or in 2 years where we're again faced with a bailout. Because in that instance, we'll have to say absolutely not. So it's a very complex issue. And I would like to hear very clear suggestions of the alternatives from the minister. So that's my input, Chair. And just to ask the minister, I'll be very polite in my engagement with her. Can she please respond with humility? Can she respond in a manner that is not flippant, in a manner that seeks to ridicule, as is always her relationship with me? And I'm here to, we don't have to like each other, we don't have to be friends, but I expect to be treated with respect. Thanks, Chair.
Is that Honorable Kubeka?
Yes, Chair.
Yes, Honorable Kubeka.
Thanks very much. Firstly, let me greet also the Minister and all other colleagues, but I think they were present. It was only the Minister. Chair, without to waste any time, I think you have put it very clearly to say we are going to meet with the SABC in the evening. But also, let me just sensitize to say, I think I'll join Honorable Faku with the statement to say what we were saying, especially on the side of the retrenchment. But I don't want to dwell much. We will engage later. But Chair, let me say, we are sick and tired to hear. We don't want to listen to the stories of Saudi nowadays. We have appointed people. We said these people, they will come and they have taken an oath to say they will come and work and assist and have a progress in the entity. So let us see the skills of these people assisting the entity in order that the entity must have a success. Iminyaka idlulile, sixoxelwa. Asafuna ukuxoxa manje, sifuna makusetshenzwe siye phambili. That's what I want to say, but let us reserve in order that we will engage in the evening. But let me thank also on the side of the minister just to stand up and try to meet with the board in order that we must try to resolve this thing. A year to Sonke Lento. And if you don't have Ubuntu, you'll respond whatever you wanted to respond it.
but ubuntu into a call. So let me just shelf and pack that chair. We will discuss in the evening in that meeting where we are going to meet with the board. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Kubeka. Honorable Pambo, I do get an indication that the minister may need to lead on the other side. I'm not sure if she can still hear us. But Honorable Pambo, yeah. Then followed by Honorable Mlala.
Sure, thank you very much. I don't seek to do the same as my colleagues in the committee, in that I'm not going to take ovation and praising the minister. The minister has been extremely reactionary. This meeting that she had yesterday with the board is supposed to be something that she should have, you know, done long ago. She is extremely reactionary. And we must be able to say that there is nothing to praising about the minister. The minister is absolutely absent. What we saw yesterday was embarrassing for the country, was embarrassing for the continent. We can't have a situation like the one we have in the SABC. The SABC can't be speaking retrenchment. This is a national asset. At a time when we're losing jobs, SABC should be one of the people that is insulating us in losing the jobs. We can't be retrenching people. The retraction of the letters by, you know, GE should be made permanent. I hear the colleague there saying, what are the other options that are being explored? There are no other options. The only option there is that those retraction of those letters must be made permanent. The minister must not be silly about that. This should be made clear. This committee must come resolute and say, whatever happens, the last thing we want to see is people losing jobs. Not in a country like this one, where we are losing jobs on the daily. Then we sit in a convivia and negotiating how many people must be retrenched. It is not a good thing for us to do. We must make sure that there is no job, not even one, must be shared. So there is no other option, colleagues. The only option there is to make sure that each and every job, whether it's a, you know, even if it can be a cleaner, everyone in the SABC must be cushioned. And the talk about people who are not working, it's absolutely nonsense. We must make sure that we save each and every job. So this minister that we have here is absent. I mean, even now as we speak, she is agitated. She's standing by the door ready to leave with her, you know, security there. She does not pay attention to us. All the time we're told, this minister has to leave. All the time. I can tell you, take you back to record. You can check. She has never had the attention, or she has never paid attention to this committee. She doesn't have time for us. Every time when we speak under duress, that no, the minister must leave now. It is that is exactly the conduct that we must take and we must accept. What we see her doing here is what we have in the SABC. She must be with the SABC. I've been working with the SABC. Not tell us when there is a crisis. No, I called an urgent meeting. There was never going to be a need for an urgent meeting. Had she taken the time and participated and made sure that she even sees it before it comes. There is no vision in this minister. We're not dealing with a visionary. We're not dealing with a leader. We're dealing with a reactionary. She saw it on television, all of us. And then we must conclude that she's in this department. This person is as good as any other layman in this country. She doesn't know what's happening there. She has to be taken into confidence, like all of us. Even what she has reported, we already knew. So why do we keep her? Why does this government keep this black minister? She's useless. This committee sit here and say, you know, we must say it clearly. This minister must go. And the other thing that must happen is that, and I press on you, colleagues. We can't sit here as the, you know, members and say we're going to negotiate.
There's a point of order. There's a point of order. Let me recognize Honorable Faku.
I just want to say to members, what Honorable members from the EFF are just for Vuyani. We are all advised. Let us not call people bloody something if I heard them correctly, Chair. Let us calm down and try and resolve the matter. We don't have to call each other names. I just wanted to raise that point, Chair. Thank you very much.
Chair, I fully retract, Chair. I'm just slightly agitated because, and my apologies to the minister as well. Chair, I'm simply saying, let us work towards not shedding any job. For every person that we shed, we must know that those people are at least taking care of no less than three people. And so we must be very sensitive about talking about retrenchment. So, Chairperson, on calling the minister names, I fully retract. But the point, and in summary, as the colleagues were saying, there's no option. The only option that we have before us is that there is no employee of the SABC that must be retrenched. We don't agree with that, at least as the EFF. We don't agree with that. All those employees must be retained. And if there is a turnaround strategy, one that will not have what the colleague was talking about in Tumantumane, which always speaks about Utawood, he will become a hero the minute you retrench one person. And the point is not to not make him a hero, but the point is, if this board is something to speak of, one of the things that it must make sure is that it's able to retain the employees. Then we can speak of a board that is truly, working towards, the success of the SABC. The SABC does not have to make a profit. It's a national broadcaster. It must just be able to be self-sustainable. It must be self-sustaining. Not to retain jobs, not to retrench people. It does not have to make a profit. It can just break even. But to say to us today that, no, we must retrench because of this and that, we're not talking money. We're talking about keeping this thing afloat, number one. Number two, keeping the employees. And to keep it afloat is to keep the employees. Not only to keep the employees, but to make sure that the SABC is self-sustaining. So, Chairperson, in summary, all we're saying is that there must be no employee. Thank you very much.
Honorable
Lamlala. Yeah, thanks, Chairperson. I think my colleagues have already raised a few issues that I want to just emphasize on. We've been meeting with SABC for quite a long time. I think at some point we indicated our position as the committee in relation to Section 139. And maybe I must repeat that again. We said 139 should be the last option in our view, and our position was very clear that we don't want retrenchment now in our country. But if the need arises at an extreme level, it must be the last option. Secondly, we said to SABC at the time that they have not followed. Remember, SABC wrote letters of Section 189 even before CCMA and every other process. And then we pleaded with them to go back and follow all the processes. Now, where we are now, I hope people are not going to misinterpret that as interference with the board, because we are not interfering. We are merely expressing our position. I think Honorable Pambo was merely expressing his position, not necessarily interfering. It must be clear. Secondly, I don't think the minister said she's got solutions. Maybe just to clarify how I heard the minister. The minister was saying she was giving us a report. As a committee, we look at what is happening now and say, what is our view? Can we make an input rather than putting the minister on the spotlight as if we are here to discuss the minister? I don't think we are here to discuss the minister. The situation at SABC is just untenable. We just need to make our views clear to the South African public on where we stand. The reality of the situation is this. There is instability at SABC. We have seen that on TV yesterday. It's clearly indicating the manager who's presenting letters of retrenchment. He has retracted. This morning, SABC has issued a statement. They are continuing with retrenchment. So clearly, even at management level, they are not speaking at the same language. Even at the administration level, you can see that. You don't need a scientist to realize that there's instability there. Now, how then do we do oversight as a committee? Our responsibility, the South African public is expecting us to give us to give the public our position as the committee regarding the situation at SABC. That's our responsibility. We can't run away from it. Everybody else has done his part. We can try and do it as political parties, but it's not going to help. What we need is that as a committee, we need to sit down and say, SABC, give us a situation analysis. What? How far are you? And then express our views. Because we can't just sit when Rome is burning and then we are just sitting and saying, no, we don't want to interfere. We are not interfering. We're merely expressing our view. Our view, we are not forcing the board to take any decision, but our view has always been very clear. We are opposed to retrenchment. It's our view. We are not saying SABC, we instruct you to do what. We're saying our view is that we're not supporting retrenchment. There's always been like that. My understanding is that the reason we wanted the report from the minister was that the minister was doing his part as a shareholder. He did the fact-finding mission. Now, where we are sitting, we're facing a situation where the board of the SABC is divided on the mat, which is a very, very sensitive area. Because if the board is divided, then obviously the officials and staff will be divided. Now, this is the area where we need to come in and say, how do we help the situation? If the situation is such that there is instability, so I'm expecting that Parliament, we should start a process of lobbying each other around. We should be more united now than ever. We should not be speaking party politics. We should be saying the 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock meeting, what is our approach as the committee? The general sentiment I'm getting, Chairperson, is that the majority of parties are not agreeing to retrenchment, with exception for the DA. The DA is not very clear, sympathizing, but it's saying the staff is bloated. But majority of us are saying we are opposed to retrenchment. There's a point of order.
Lala, Jackson, there's a point of order. Let me recognize the Honorable. Is it Van Damme?
Yes, I would like Honorable Mulala to please not misrepresent our position. I was very clear about the fact that I was very clear in what I said. So can you please not put words in my mouth? I said that we need solutions. If we are going to talk about not retrenchment, what are the solutions? So Honorable Mulala, with respect, my colleague, we have not played politics, so let's not start now.
Honorable Mulala.
I don't understand the point of order because I just said.
Honorable Mulala, let me just clarify you.
Yes.
What she says is that from the point you have raised, that all parties except the DA do not support the retrenchment. Honorable Van Damme will correct me if I didn't capture what she says well. And she says that she's making that correction, that you are misrepresenting their position. Their position is if there is alternative that is looked at, what are those alternative solutions to retrenchment? And that does not mean they do not support the committee position.
Thank you, Chairperson.
That's indicated from Mlala. So it's quite said, Honorable Mlala, that the committee is still a committee and it has discussed the matter. You can then proceed to the other points on the tourism. I'm sure you will agree now that we're moving together going forward. Thank you.
Yeah, no, I think it's fine if we're moving together. Thanks for the clarity. Chair, the last point I'm raising is that Honorable Faku raised an important point earlier on that we have a board that has a responsibility. We can't be talking about the past forever. We've passed that stage. There was an inquiry, there's recommendation. So we should not be talking about that, Kauri and whoever, in the past. For now, what is key is what are they doing to stabilize the SABC? If they have the capacity, what are they doing? Because they must demonstrate that. They can't be managing a crisis forever. We have just coming out of the AG's report, and it's worrisome that this situation is arising when the AG is actually saying that SABC alone has contributed 82% of the 358 million of irregular expenditure in the whole communication sector. Now, I'm saying we need to engage as a committee. Maybe if it was possible, we're going to sit and engage before the SABC, but it's okay. Let's meet the SABC, but I'm very much keen to know the proposals that each party has in relation to this as a committee, so that we can sit down and say these are the options. But I think the first option already SABC has rejected. We said retrenchment must be the last resort. Now already they have not placed people. I mean, we have worked in the public service. We know how the retrenchment process goes. They have not placed people. Instead, they are saying they are advertising everybody must apply. So that's not placement. If you restructure, the first thing you do before you retrench, you place people. After you do the skills audit, you know who's qualified, where, who has got experience. You place people and then said, after we place people, these are the people who are redundant. And then you can then, with the remaining redundant people, then engage. But in this instance, retrenchment is the first thing on the board. Every time they meet, CCMA is retrenchment. And then after retrenchment, people will apply. It's a vice versa process. So I don't understand. But it's okay. Let's discuss at 6 o'clock. But our position still stands. We are opposed to retrenchment. If it's done, it must be done as a last resort. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mlala. I'm not sure if the Minister could still hear us.
Yes, Chairperson, I can still hear you.
I'm sorry, Chair. Honorable McKenzie, I have my hand up.
Can I speak, Chairperson, and then go, or can I respond when we are coming with SABC? As I had explained earlier, Chair, I had to go. I'm in the investment thingy. We're preparing for the summit. And the time allocated for SABC engagement is at 6. If I can be given an opportunity now to just respond to some of the things, alternatively,
no.
I'll respond.
I think, Minister, you can. Honorable McKenzie, if you would agree with me, can we allow the Minister to respond on the points raised now for those she can respond to? And that will still take up this engagement later in the day.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I just wanted to emphasize the fact that the committee saw retrenchments as a last resort, and that, as I understood it, the committee was very concerned about all the employees at the SABC and the jobs and the families that were on the line. That was just my contribution. Thank you, Chair. My apologies to the Minister. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Minister. As I said, you can respond to those that you think you can respond now, and we'll still take up the discussion later.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, Honourable Members, for your questions and statements. Chairperson, few questions. I'll respond to the issue of the unfunded mandate. What is the department doing as the shareholder rep in relation to policy? And this, again, Chairperson, will be detailed. As I said, we're coming at 6 o'clock, but unfortunately, we're coming for another thing. And if the committee prefers, they can give us more time to talk on the work that has been done as the deputy minister, who is the deputy minister delegated to SABC. As in government, Chairperson, there's a minister and a deputy who have responsibilities that get to be allocated. And in this context, the deputy minister, Honorable Pambo, as I've been saying in the committee, and as we have heard her leading all engagements in relation to SABC, is the one that is responsible for SABC. Therefore, I may have been absent according to you in the meetings, but the department and the ministry were fully represented by the person who holds the authority to represent the department as per the delegations within the framework that we operate in under the executive. Honorable Van Damme, correctly so, asked what are the options. And of course, we will detail that again in the 6 o'clock meeting. And in my remarks, I did not say we have options. I said we implored the SABC board and its management to look into other options. And I further invited Parliament, the appointing authority, to also make sure that they can provide some suggestions to the board, because as much as we know what is expected of the public broadcaster, the department and Parliament, but the Act is very clear on the fact that Parliament or the National Assembly is empowered to intervene on matters of the public broadcaster. That is why I made that request, recognizing what the law gives this portfolio committee through the National Assembly that they can do. Of course, I will not be able to count numbers now in terms of the disagreements in the board, but it's out there. Definitely, I will not want to say Stella, Mang Mang, but when the meeting takes place, maybe you will see it as I've observed in the meeting and members, and you can start the counting. The negotiated settlement that involves government can never be illegal, Honourable Members. The Department of Communications is responsible for policy. The Department of Labour and Employment is responsible for all labour and employment-related matters. The Department of Finance and Treasury is responsible for allocation of budgeting. Therefore, when, as I did in my remarks, I make reference to that, it is because they have a responsibility and a role to play in matters like this that the country is faced with, and especially a public broadcaster that belongs to all that we are responsible for. So that can never be illegal, whatever law that we read, because there are responsibilities in government that are aligned and allocated to specific departments. And as I did also with Parliament, those departments must come on board to say, how can we meet each other halfway in order to attend to the crisis that we're faced with, having a full appreciation of the challenges at SABC, but at the same time, a full appreciation of the impact of people losing jobs at such an opportune time, whereby we're not getting rid of people who are consuming only money here, because we're just dumping them again back to social development, and it is still the state that must fit that bill. Therefore, in the intervention that we're asking people to look at, they must look into the entire ecosystem, which is why I spoke of the options that have been provided by the department through the deputy minister, and the board and this management are aware of. the Deputy Minister will hear to detail those. What is it that we have tried to do? This we do in the spirit of understanding that we are a caring government that cannot just take up things and say, yes, we established a law and therefore you can do, we can't say anything. We have to intervene when needs require. And in this instance, the crisis at hand requires all of us to come together, and correctly so, Honorable Fanda, not to politic about certain sensitive matter. That is why as government, we're not looking at politics. We look at the possible interventions and implore those that have been delegated the authority to carry out the mandate as defined in the law, that is the administration we preside over, to look at other alternatives, including reaching out to say, this is what we can do. If we are to go back to the conditions, the turnaround strategy and other things, as we emphasize that this issue that deals with staff complement is also mentioned, the turnaround strategy, there's lots of other things that have not been met. There's lots of matters that have not been met in the same turnaround strategy. And all we are saying, retrenchments are not only about the law, because that only talks to process. Retrenchments have still to be aligned with organizational realities, such as timing and revenue generation. What strategies are put at place by those mandated within the confines of the law to do so? They go together. Even if you have followed the process to the latter, and in this case, many have disputed that the process has been followed to the latter. And I'm saying many because these are presentations, the meeting. It doesn't matter if it's one person or two. The fact that there's a dissenting voice, unfortunately, as the shareholder representative, we've got to also take that into consideration. It has been proven, Honorable Manene, that majority does not always mean that it's right. Where the Zondo Commission, because of the decisions that were taken by majority. Therefore, as a responsible government and parliament, we all have to look into all the nitty-gritties. And then until we are satisfied that there's no other corner that we can get into, and therefore this is the only way out, then yes, so that nobody tomorrow says, why didn't you look at ABCD? And we are imploring this parliament to work with us in identifying those through those that are responsible and have the authority delegated to by the law. Recommendations that were made by GTEC, as we also make reference to this, as I said, not all of them have been followed. That's the reality. If you look into the other areas in terms of revenue generations, they have not been met. But we are not saying we blame anyone, because here and there we understand why certain recommendations have not been fulfilled. We are again committing ourselves as the shareholder to do everything in our best to make sure that we assist SABC. There's lots of things, the identification of media assets for sale, and those would have contributed to minimizing the impact that we're talking about when it talks to the issue of HR, the issues of matching HR and job matching exercise. Those have not been met yet. But we are not hyped up because of those, because we understand that as much as we put all this in place, at times challenges arise. And they need others to engage honestly so with the ones that are affected, and therefore come with clear strategies, exploring all avenues and bringing all parties that have the potential to resolve or minimize the impact of those resolutions. Honorable Pambu, the department is from 2018. Has been clear on the issue of retrenchment. So when you say this minister is not clear, she must come out clear. Maybe you were not watching news that time. Even now, we have heard several times, just like the portfolio committee has been clear on its view, which is why we have, together with a team from the department, under the leadership of the deputy ministers, reached out, including to other entities that have a role to play in ensuring that we can minimize the challenges at SABC. It is because we're not only a caring government, but we're also a listening one. That is why it would take this long for the minister to meet with the board. Because within, again, the confines of the law, the function, as I said, the minister must be able to give space to the board and its executives to satisfy themselves. The department must then come on board to look at the areas that may have a negative impact on the policy outcomes that we're looking at and the socioeconomic impact that is driven through the entities that we have. That is why I said the department has been involved and has raised concerns, as the shareholder rep, DM, has done the same. I do welcome your views, although you retracted them. I welcome your views on feeling that this minister is useless. I'm not the one to tell you how to think and how you view. It is your understanding. It is your measurements that you use. One of the key things, Honourable Member, is to learn and listen. So that you can understand the space. Because when you say the minister must therefore tell SABC what to do, that goes against the same law that you preside over as a member of parliament.
Old minister?
Chairperson.
What is the point, Honourable Tupambo?
I never decided that the minister is useless. I've never. I haven't. The only thing I retracted is calling her a name. The only thing I retracted was that. But I've never retracted that she's useless. I can repeat it.
Sir Person, no, can I now proceed? The point is taken. I'm running out of time.
Honorable.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Honorable Pambu, for at least getting one thing right in your understanding of this minister being useless. And in your usefulness, make sure that you also familiarize yourself with the responsibilities of the executive and of those of parliament in relation to the entities that we establish. It helps not to provide rhetoric on the matters that we deal with, because these are people's lives. Grandstanding on the SABC challenges, because you think when you label the minister as useless, that is going to address the challenges that we are faced with. All the best. Not everything is solved through rhetoric. And when you're a member of parliament, you also expect to rise to the occasion, provide solutions and advice to the people of South Africa, to the SABC board members and the workers that are going through you cannot give a solution by howling or by grandstanding and insulting
the minister.
I have invited you, honorable members, including yourself. You can kiss me on your own time.
Like, do you know what rhetoric means?
Well, you are the best one that knows rhetoric.
Honorable Pambu,
Honorable Pambu, I don't have time for rhetoric, therefore I will not understand what it means. As the expert in rhetoric, you can teach me on that. Chairperson, as I conclude on the matters that have been raised, Honorable Fagu and Honorable Mulala did mention that we'll deliberate more on this matter in the evening. And as we deliberate, Chairperson, now, I would like you, as the chairperson of the meeting, to make sure that we don't get called names. I am an honorable member, like the honorable members that are in this meeting. The respect that they demand from myself is the same respect I demand from them. As good and brilliant as they are, the situation right now requires all of us to bring our heads, both the dunderheads like myself, as he refers, and the brilliant people like himself, to say I've provided a clear solution, no retrenchment. It's an empty statement and a rhetoric again. It needs somebody to think especially when one claims to have brains better than others. Thank you, Chairperson, until we meet again late. And we have, Chairperson, as I emphasize, we have implored the board to go and relook and provide us other alternatives and give us a report. But as Honorable Mlala has said, we see that the letter that it is gone. And again, it was a suggestion, which is why we're taking it back to yourselves as the people that can intervene. But of course, as I said, as a shareholder and a policymaker, we're not bystanders in the business of SABC. That is why, as independent as they are and reporting to Parliament, they can't go and get their money from Treasury without us. That must be taken into consideration. And we're not going to go and plead for money for SABC without understanding what the money spent on or if we are deriving value. It has happened with all the entities that are at the Zondo Commission right now. It has happened previously at SABC because we were giving the independence. Responsibility comes with everything, especially if we're going to come and say there must be an allocation from government. As I will be going to Zondo or whoever that will be that time, when a need arises, I have to make sure that myself, the Deputy Minister of Communications, and the department have done their part fully, not to moonlight on the work that we do in relation to SABC. Thank you so much, Chairperson and Honourable Members.
Honourable Members, I think we must thank the Minister for staying put and be able to respond to the first set of questions with an understanding that we still have a discussion later on. We would release her to do the part she needs to do. And I also hope that the Deputy Minister, who has been delegated to work on this matter, would also be able to join the meeting. Minister, I had reminded the committee right in the beginning on why I wanted you to brief us. But because the committee uploaded the Deputy Minister as delegated on the work she was doing to interact with all the stakeholders in that scope. So you needed to give us an update because you also had to come in. So you should not leave with that impression that there's no recognition from all of us in the committee on the strides that are made to find a solution, because we can all point at the problems. But at the end, we must find solutions to the problem that exists. So in that scope, we'll still have a discussion, Honourable Members. I don't think we need to stretch the matter further. We now have a sense of where the discussions of yesterday were. And SABC would have also same opportunity to also give us their own sense of such a discussion. And it's only fair to do that because the minister was not meeting alone. They met the board, and I think the board would have also reflected on the advices that would have been given in how they can work together to get this matter attended to. So I do not want us to really drag at the meeting. We'll release the minister and we'll be seeing them later in the day.
Sorry to disturb you. I'm not going to respond to what the minister said. Even though I disagree with some points, I would just like to make a suggestion about the meeting this evening. Given that this matter is in the public domain, the public wants to know what's happening, the staff at the SABC want to know what's happening, could I please request that that meeting be made open? We already had a meeting with the SABC where commercially sensitive matters were discussed. Can I please request that this meeting this evening be open so that the public knows exactly what is going on? I don't think there is any more reason. And we can shelve other commercial matters. But on this one, I think there are many matters that need to be discussed. And I think the public who elected us to Parliament need to know what's going on. We can we've already discussed commercial matters, and we can discuss them again. That's just my humble request, Chair.
Again, Honourable Fandam, as you'd be aware, the part that we asked for a closed meeting would have been on the sensitive matters which we need to complete. On the part that needs the public, the committee by decision in terms of the rules would open such. And this is the reason why, as the minister responds, this meeting is also open to the public, for the public to know about the interventions that get made. So I think there's clarity on that. It is not because we would want to hide anything in terms of the interventions that are made.
Sorry, so I don't want to misunderstand you. Are you saying that you're going to continue with the commercial matters and all be closed? I just want to be clear. Sorry, I didn't fully understand.
Exactly, Honourable Fandam. I'm saying there were matters that were pending. Remember, we had to call off the meeting because of time limitations, and SABC was to come back and respond to the matters that would have been raised. The point I'm trying to make here is, on the point you've raised about what is a matter that must go in public vis-a-vis the sensitive matters that were raised, of commercial. We have applied, just to remind you, and we are approved of that. The approval was very clear that it is only on those matters that have been identified as sensitive matters of commercial in nature. However, the Parliament would make a clear call that it is open to the public. So the matters that are of public interest, which are out there, has to be known by the public. So that's what I'm saying. On this point, this is why we wanted the minister to respond in this meeting also, which is not closed. So when this matter arises, unfortunately, we'll have to look at that Parliament has already advised us on, that we would not be able to close every matter from the public. So allow us to deal with the matter as we get to the meeting, which is a decision of the committee to separate the matters of commercial sensitiveness vis-a-vis these matters that are of public. Whenever we discuss Section 189, these matters have been in public, Honourable Fandam, because the public needs to know. So once we get to that item, we'll do as we are expected. So you shouldn't be worried about those, because Parliament has advised us legally that there are things we cannot keep away from the public.
Okay, understood. Thanks, Chair.
Better of investments for the country, for the countries to run at the same time. But I just wanted to leave understanding that we really appreciate that even though there's a delegated deputy minister, she was able to get out of that other engagement, which is also important for the country as a member of the executive. I hope that message will also go to the minister that I had accepted the point of order raised by Honourable Faku with regard to calling people names when there are honourable members, and hence the retraction on that. The other may be politics, because we're in a political environment, which I think the minister has been able to handle it well in terms of responding to what the committee has raised. With that, I'm looking at time, of course, that we have taken time on this matter because it is of public interest. But we still have CETA that needs to present on the annual report, and we take it from the same understanding that we have already had a presentation also from the Auditor General, which will reduce their time of presentation to take us to areas of concern and how they are responding to that. which they could do in 10 minutes. For the other presentations, really, it was those entities that have got their APPs and strategic plans revised, that they take us directly to the points where the revisions are, not the entire presentation, because the members would have had an opportunity of looking at that. So this will then help members to do their proper oversight, knowingly what the changes are and those would have been agreed upon. So that's how we are going to approach it. I know that we should be out by 12. We may have to plead with yourselves, because the meeting is really in your hands, that we are at the point we're in now, that at least the latest by 12:30, we should have concluded the discussions, because members at least have had an opportunity of looking at these reports. Is that agreed, honorable members?
Margaret.
Agreed, Chair.
So if we so agree, I will only ask the department to first, and then and before. Honorable Fagu, are you raising a point there?
No, Chair, sorry.
Okay, all right, thanks. Can we then ask the department?
I didn't raise my hand, Chair, so.
Okay. Department?
Yes, good morning, Chair, and good morning, honorable members. I'm sorry for that, my camera glitches. Following your direction, Chair, I'm just going to do two slides. I understand that Jira has the slides for Zaitoni there. I'm just going to do slide 5, which is the summary of the revision. If you check on slide 5, which is the summary of the revision of the APP, which has the original targets, I hope you can see it has been loaded. You see on the left-hand side, it has the original targets, slide 5, please. You've seen this part of the slides, like slide 3, this is and slide, all the slides. This is the new slide. This is the original targets on your left, and then on your right is the revised. Without wasting anyone's time, you'll see establishment of the BRICS Institute for Future of Networks. That is the original target. Now, on the revised, is development of the legal framework for the establishment of the BRICS Institute for future networks. Why we have revised the targets? In the main, you would recall we did when we came that the targets have been revised. One, because of COVID. Secondly, because some of our funds have been taken due to funding of the bailout for SAA, because we asked the government departments to fund SAA bailout, and you will see later on that the amount that were taken to fund SAA to the tune of about 111 million from our side. And then on the left-hand side, you'll see we had Digital Transformation Center established and operationalized. Now we are saying on the right-hand side, Digital Transformation Center established. Why it's like this? We also want to check this Digital Transformation Center and align it with the PC4IR recommendations and ensure that there is no duplication in terms of those recommendations that are there, and also other centers that have been established, such as those that are at the CSIR, so that we don't say operationalized in terms of funding. Then you have the draft policy direction on 5G spectrum. This, we have moved forward with saying a final policy direction on 5G spectrum issued. And in this regard, yesterday I was at the South African Investment Forum. This is something that is coming to the fore that there's also a question from the investors that the 5G spectrum should be issued, not only be issued, when is ICASA going to come up with a study on the 5G spectrum that the minister had asked ICASA to do the study on 5G. So those are the things that are coming out. You see on the left also coordinating of the monitoring of the 900,000 subsidized digital TV installation in three provinces. This is now 860. As you know, it's those set-top boxes that are in the three provinces. On the left, there were no targets for the vouchers. Now you have the 139 vouchers aligned with the USASA. And the outcome set, the second outcome is enabling digital transformation policies. We did not have that target. Now we have a new target called International Engagement Strategy revised and submitted for approval. And this is a new target. Then we have outcome that says transform digital society. We had two partnership agreements that were supposed to be signed, partnership agreements. Now we are looking at a one signed partnership agreement focused on digital economy, because we've noticed that some of the meetings are being cancelled due to COVID during this period. Then we used to have on the left training program for artificial intelligence related skills focusing on the youth developed and implemented. So this we're saying that there's none. I don't think it's not there. This has been incorporated as part of the implementing the digital and future skills program, which is being implemented by one of our agencies in the MISA. So it is not there. The MISA is implementing it. So we have a high performing portfolio to enable achievement of the respective mandates that the integrated digital economy society indicator model developed. And here now we have moved it to draft integrated digital economy society indicator model developed. So that here it will be a draft. Then before we didn't have a target on invoices paid within 30 days. Now we have a new target, which is 100% invoices should be paid within 30 days. And then you would see on the financials, move to the financial slide, there I've already indicated that you would note that we have, as per the indication, we have 111 million that has been we've been tasked by National Treasury that we had to take from cost of employees and from goods and services, and that was moved to fund SAA, and then there was a special adjustment budget that was given to ICASA for purposes of spectrum. And with that, Chairperson, I do not want to delay the meeting any further. That is what is happening when it comes to some of our entities moving into the outer years, and they will speak to their budgets as they move forward. Thank you, Chair.
No, thank you, DG. Acting DG, I'd ask that you introduce CETA to your presentation on the annual plans. But
thank you, Chair.
You are already presenting. I then said, anyway, it's about time management. I would have also wanted CETA to just complete its tabling.
Let me introduce, yes, Chair. At CETA, we are joined by the acting chairperson of CETA, Mr. Omega Shelembe from CETA, and the executive caretaker, Mr. Nuvuyo Keise, and they are joined by their team. They will be tabling their report today. You would see, Chairperson, that they are an honorable committee members, that they have been hard at it, trying to turn around CETA, bearing in mind the challenges that we've been faced with in the last couple of months. I'll hand over to Mr. Shelembe and his team. Mr. Shelembe?
Thank you, ADG, and good morning to Honorable Chair, Honorable Members and colleagues. I am really just showing my face here to acknowledge the introduction by the Acting DG in this capacity as the Acting Chairperson of CETA. Otherwise, the presentation will be made by the executives, including the Executive Caretaker. I think they are already here, and may I invite the executive caretaker to lead the presentation. Thank you very much.
Please proceed, your 10 minutes go.
Honorable Chair and honorable members, I think because of time, honorable Chair, because we have 10 minutes, I would largely talk around item number 5, Chair, the audit outcome. I take the report as read by the honorable members. Good morning to all of you, honorable members and honorable Chair. As you have read the report and you've also been able to meet with the Auditor General yesterday, that summarily informed that CETA regressed from an unqualified audit with findings to a qualified audit. And also on the performance side of CETA, CETA was also then able to meet roughly about 60% of its overall performance objectives that it had for the financial year. I think members taking in note that we are left with 4 months of this financial year. So as we present on the year that has passed, but what is it that we are now doing as an organization to ensure that in these 4 months that are left, we are then able to address all the things that made CETA to regress both on performance and also to regress also in terms of its own audit outcome. So in simply, I thought members, it might make sense that I bring a little bit more information so that you have a better perspective of what is it that we are doing in addressing these things. And you will see some is additional new information that may not have been there in the original slides. All is meant to help you understand on what is it that we're doing, so that as you ensure oversight over CETA, at least you have a better appreciation of what we are doing in addressing these matters. And in the next slide, as we indicate in slide 16, as we indicate that we already do have a detailed audit action plan that makes sure that within the next 4 months, we really do address all of the things that made the organization not to perform the way it has. But I'll only be addressing critical key things. On one, I think in the year under review, there's been a lot of issues around vacancies within the organization. So yes, we can confirm now critical key positions have been filled, including a new CFO that will be starting in 2 weeks' time, your key position of your HOD contract management, which is key to stop irregular expenditure within the organization, has already started 2 months ago. A chief procurement officer who has also started in January as part of the measures to ensure that there is stability within the organization and we implement what we need to do. But more importantly, as you would have understood from the AG yesterday, consequence management is one of those issues that have been raised, and we'll explain what is it that now we're putting in our audit action plan to ensure that consequence management is 3 things. One, it is appropriate to the offense. So you can't have a serious offense and all CETA then does is a warning letter. So what are we now doing to ensure that it's an appropriate consequence management with executives taking accountability for what they need to do? The second issue from what has been raised by AG is that it's timely. You don't take consequence management years after the event has already happened. And lastly then, consequence management to focus on the leadership of the organization, not on the junior members within the organization. All of these are part of our audit action plan as we want to reposition and change the organization around. We'll talk briefly also around your irregular contracts that have been continuing in this organization since your 17-18 financial year up to now, which is one of those things that have led into the qualification. And we are now seriously, as you might have seen, as I was challenging then the contract that Eastern Cape Education has given to CISWE and other companies. Simply what we're looking for now as an organization is that we start processes of ensuring that irregular contracts do not continue forever. But we start a process of ensuring that we do as an organization set aside. First, we should not be getting into irregular contracts. But when we have got into irregular contracts, those must be set aside. But as you spread aside those contracts, spread aside in a way that they don't add additional financial implications to the state. And where there is clear irregularity in the awarding of those irregular contracts, and some may lead to possible criminality, criminal charges should be preferred against that. I thought in the next slide, honorable members, I will give you a high-level view of these contracts that you are talking of that have led us to the irregularity that we are in. We have more than 400 million rand of an irregular contract with Altron for the Gauteng broadband. A simple thing was SITA awarded a contract by relaxing its own mandatory requirements. So simply in that one, although it's a 2.8 billion rand overall contract, we're already putting measures to ensure this contract is limited to not more than your 1.3 billion rand. And also we are looking at starting your, that's your next slide, Tanya. And we are also putting measures, thank you, we are also putting measures to ensure that this contract is not extended when it expires by November next year. And we already start a new process to ensure by January we already publish a replacement contract for this. And where we can stop this contract, we wish to stop it as soon as we can. So we also provide a list. You have so many access links, your data lines that we have that have been irregularly given either to your telecoms, your MTNs, to all of your network service providers combined. They talk around 260 million rand. That's our stops to data lines that we have across the country. So these are the contracts we are saying must end by 31st March next year as we get in. There should be new, cleaner contracts that we are putting in place. And similar measures, we are going to be implementing them across all these high-level contracts that you see in this spreadsheet. And as you can see, these contracts come from your 17-18. To resolve some of these irregular contracts, and they have now been moving fastly. So we're now saying this must be stopped as much as we can by 31st March next year, and we're putting measures to say as we stop them, we should not be incurring additional financial implications to the state. As you would see in the next slide, over and above that, in the next slide, Tanya. So in the next slide, some of the key issues that have been raised by AG is around your graph compliance. More importantly, around your useful life and revaluation of the assets. As you'll understand, SITA, we have thousands of IT assets. So there's been challenges around the assessment of the value and the useful lives of those assets. But we're saying irrespective of how many assets that we have and also assets that we're managing on behalf of our clients, this is one of those matters we're saying we will resolve by end of March. And the CFO who's starting on the 1st of December will also be driving this, including capacitation and training of the finance and supply chain officials within the organization around your graph compliance measures. From the next slide, Honorable Chair, around PFMA compliance related issues, this deal with your contract management. And as you would have received from the AG yesterday, the bulk of the things have to do with SITA ensuring that you do proper document management of the decisions that you make. So there is a lot that we're going to be doing to ensure that we move into electronic document management systems that SITA already has. But also SITA should be in a better position to manage the contract. So our HOD contract management, who has already started implementing contract management dashboards, something we're automating not later than 1st January next year, to ensure that you have timely notifications of when these contracts are expiring, and management can make sure that on time they start putting in interim or alternative measures for replacing those contracts so that they don't continue into irregularity. I can confirm we've started some of those things already and we're implementing them. The next part of our high-level presentation, Chair, because as you do and manage all of these audit, negative audit outcomes that we have had, continue to maintain a healthy financial position of the organization. As you might have seen in the audit report, although the financial position for SITA was positive, we did declare a profit of more than 100 million compared to the loss of the last financial year. But we also want to make sure, as we focus on managing the audit issues, we also don't drop our eye from the ball in ensuring that CETA remains a financially healthy company. As you would see, even in the interim financials that we have for our month ending October, we are sitting positively in more than 268 million profit as now, and we want to maintain that up to the end of the year so that we don't get into negative financial position as an organization. And on the next slide, as you'll then understand on performance overall for CETA, I arrived at CETA in 27th of January, where CETA was performing at 25%, and we could only be able to move the performance for CETA by end of the year to about a 60% overall performance. But I can confirm to the committee there are now more performance monitoring measures to ensure the organization performs to the 100% of the objectives that it has set itself. And we are closer to achieving the targets that we want to make. And as it is shown also about our performance up to end of September, we are sitting at over 87% of our procurement, including your one major procurement measure, or the major measure for CETA, the transformation of the ICT industry. As you would have seen, that in our APP performance, we're at 9%. We can confirm now, up to where we were by 30th September, we were already at more than 40% of ensuring that there is real empowerment of our SMMEs. I can confirm to the committee that the minister, with the Minister of Small Business Development, will be making key announcements before the end of the financial year on concrete direct measures that CETA will be implementing to ensure that we don't talk about transformation, but there are key services that CETA will now be handing over to SMMEs, and this will indeed move our procurement target to way more than the 40% that we are budgeting or that we have been managed on for this year. In the next slide, Chair, so I'm arrived my 10 minutes. I think all I wanted to do, Chair, is not just to repeat what the APP says, but rather to show the committee what is this that we are now doing to ensure that in the next 4 months, CETA gets back to a clean financial position, but also remain a financially healthy company. And lastly, we then ensure that service delivery improves. I will rather stop here, Chair, and I will take the questions that the committee will have. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you to the administrator of CETA. May I then just check honorable members, because I see hands are up there. Honorable Faku, Honorable McKenzie, Honorable Van Damme. Am I missing other hands, Ajira? Honorable Kubeka, I can see from this side. That will be after Honorable Van Damme. In that order?
Let's see, Chair.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair President. Thank you for the presentation from both the acting AG and CETA. Chair, first, I think one of the things that we really need to address to the department, I see that but I think some of the issues that the department needs to strengthen on is the issue of monitoring. You know, we've been talking about this. Set of boxes that need to be installed and all of these things that are costing us a lot of money. So I think it's important that AG has given us clear indication that in terms of consequence management, this is something that we need to monitor. We need to monitor implementation plans. So I think that as a committee, we really need to pay oversight on the issues that the department has raised, because I think it's an issue sometimes of people not taking issues serious at the time. But let us give them the benefit of the doubt that these issues must be concluded. We can't be dealing with the same issues that we've been talking about for more forward acting PG. We know that we are trying your utmost best, but really we need to move forward, because these are some of the findings that the AG has spoken about, maybe something that maybe if you could strengthen your implementation tool on other issues and you could have received a clean audit, in my opinion. Secondly, let me go to Sita. Let us first appreciate the work that has been done by the caretaker. You know, we all know that Sita has capacity issues. Perhaps the department must also explain why is in a different position to what we know. Can we be clarified on that one? But we might use to us in December or so. You have done a fairly job from 25%. You know, it's good. It is also congratulate 3 million. And now you are saying you are currently, your profit is currently sitting at 200 million. So,
just a point of order. I'm sorry to interrupt, Honorable Farku. Honorable Farku, I really apologize for interrupting you.
Okay.
Your earlier point, I'm afraid I couldn't hear it at all because there was lots of interruptions. There are people that have their mics on and keep interrupting what you're saying. So I didn't hear the question. I don't know if the rest of the colleagues did. Honorable Farku, I'm really sorry for interrupting you. Apologies.
No, I agree because there's a lot of people who have their mics on, Hilda. I think also Chair, but Chair is now speaking. Most people have their mics on. I don't understand why. Perhaps let me repeat myself, Chairperson. I was saying that it is important that for the department to make sure that they monitor the implementation plans, because this is where we're failing. This is where that makes us not to get a clean audit from the department. We have been raising the issue of set of boxes that are sitting at the post office. Perhaps explain to me even the issue that you're talking about voucher. How is it going to be done? Who's going to receive these vouchers? I'm kind of confused there. But some of the pointers that have made you to fail not to receive a clean audit is because you don't implement some of your plans. Perhaps the implementation plan, I hope your monitoring is not as good as one would want it to be. But also, can you just explain to us, I see now Didi Chelembe is having a new responsibility of CETA, if you can explain that to us. But let us also congratulate CETA for receiving from 25% currently to 60% of its annual target. So that is good, especially with the issues that we have of capacity issues. And also the revenue increase of 100 million, because we're struggling with the entities currently. They need bailout from government day to day. But this is a good thing that you have increased, and we're saying that in this quarter you are sitting at 200 million. It is good, but what is important that AG has raised very important issues when it comes to city issues of capacity, which I think the department must address this. Issues of capacity. You can't have an entity like CETA who does not have capacity, but I appreciate that the CFO is appointed because that is where we have problems. And Mr. Day said that is where we have problems where issues of tenders that were irregular issues. I think that is what the AG was saying, like your 500,000 and upwards. AG has raised those issues. Contracting, I think in your action plan, you have raised some of those issues. So I think as a committee, we're going to be very strict moving forward to make sure that we monitor each you on a quarterly basis on these targets that you have come up with. But also let us appreciate the issue of the transformation. And I think that as a committee, we've been saying that there needs to be a balance. So for you to achieve 42%, I think, from your initial target, which was 40, but in the previous financial year, you had 9%. I think there are improvements, but there are serious areas, especially when it comes to finances. If you can look at the departments and the entities' overall performance, where you are falling off, it comes to finances. And I hope that the new CFO, as it will be starting on the 1st of December, he will understand the importance of clean clean governance, especially when it comes to clean audit chairperson. But I must say that the chair, regardless of what is happening with CETA, with all their challenges, one has hope that we are moving into the right direction. But it's important that we make sure that the implementation plan is monitored and consequence management. When people do wrong, when people steal from government, let us hold those people responsible. And I think you are also making a reference to the issue of the Eastern Cape. Perhaps if you can just give us a briefing of what is really happening to that issue of the Eastern Cape, because when I saw what the department in the Eastern Cape was doing, for me, as a layman, I thought that this Cape is something which is good, but I see now there's something that you are saying that something wrong was done in that tender. So moving forward, such issues must not happen. Thank you very much, Chair.
Chairperson?
Honourable Mackenzie, proceed.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, it was my great privilege to first meet Dr. Sotumo Mohapi when he was CEO of CETA, or CEO of CENTEC. Yeah, that organization to clean audits, very well run, internally funded organization that's the pride of the portfolio. Dr. Mohapi was then moved across to CETA to try and sort out CETA's problems, especially around procurement. And after a couple of years and many grey hairs and lots more wrinkles, I've never seen anybody age so quickly in my life, he left CETA for the private sector. And I don't blame him, and we wish him very well. And I'm sure he's excelling there. As I understand it, the State Information Technology Agency has sort of two roles. The one is to administer government systems and especially secure systems, and the other is to source and procure on behalf of government. So that's a fairly clean and precise business model, and there are two real areas that you need to get right, and they all center around your contracts. The Auditor General did not pull any punches when singling out CETA for criticism. And, you know, let's be clear, you failed. When I spoke about a classroom earlier full of entities that report to this department, you guys are in the naughty corner. And you're there because of irregular expenditure, and it runs into hundreds and hundreds of millions of rands. I'll get to that in a minute once I've covered the comments. There was a lot of talk during Dr. Mohapi's time around centralized electronic procurement at CETA. In other words, removing the sticky fingers from the supply chain and making sure that the system was electronically or digitally available to all government departments and entities, and that the process for procurement was transparent. And I think that was the very important thing. Can you just give us an update on that electronic procurement system, where you are in that? Because within that procurement system, I would imagine there would be a flag for contract renewal. And then you wouldn't have these issues where you're rolling over contracts without any contract in place. Just on that note, a question for Mr. Kiyise. So the irregular contracts and the termination of that by the 31st of March, I salute the intention. Won't that cause a severe, given the number of contracts that I can see as irregular expenditure, won't that cause a massive disruption in the services that you're offering to your clients? And what steps would you take to mitigate that risk? And if I can just go specifically to your annual report, on page 131, there's an item, I think it's amongst your cash position, there's an item, doubtful debt movement of 2.896 million. Can you just tell me what that is? I'm an old style ledger guy. Just help me, just explain what that doubtful debt movement is. Then if I can just echo Honorable Faku, you know, you have done a good job in maintaining and increasing your revenue in this time of COVID. So clearly you've managed to deliver. And let me be honest, when we've had entities come before us, I've asked several of them why their procurement isn't handled through CETA. So I push CETA quite heavily as an entity that I believe government should be buying from. But then you, of course, also have to bring your side, which is to be efficient, cost-effective, to deliver the right equipment at the right place and on time. And I'm not sure that you're doing that. Perhaps you could just reassure us. If I can turn to your surpluses, you seem to have a fair amount in retained surpluses. Is there any chance of feeding any of that back to National Treasury, or are you just going to keep it on hand? Then if I can just turn to irregular expenditure, the list of irregular expenditure incidents in your annual report, I'm going to give you the item numbers, and then perhaps you can just give me a bit more information on what they are. I think it's page 127. It's item 14, 46 million related to a service provider for hardware maintenance and software support. Can you just tell us what that is? Who is the service provider? And what is the hardware maintenance, and what are they expected to do for that? Because that seems like an awful lot of money. I'm just singling out the really big ones that kind of stand up for me. Number 15, delay SCM processes, same sort of thing, contract, 16 million. Item 19, software licenses again. That's your core business, Sita. That's what you sold us. 15 million. And then item 20, 200 million, 5-year MSA. Item 24, 425 million. I think you covered that. If you didn't, perhaps you could assist if it's something different. Item 31, 16 million again. And that was bursaries. If you just tell us what the story is around that. Just going back, item 27, 39 million. Expired contracts. So it seems, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems to me that a lot of your real problems lie in contract maintenance. But perhaps you could provide us with some more information. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Honourable McKinns, Honourable Fatal.
Thank you, Chairperson. I've been mostly covered by Honourable McKinns. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Kwego.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think the speakers that they have at least present on our side, indeed they've raised our concerns actually. But yeah, let me say just to the department, as we are raising this issue of monitoring, let us just say Tinages Zaukata, who next year March, as the promise of the department, especially on the side of these set-top boxes matter, to say indeed, are you doing justice as you have promised to us, department? But now you can see that you are trying also, as we have raised your revised APP, just to push harder. And also the issue of the consequence management, if that thing can lead actually in the department also, I think it's early on the side of the department just to say now we will be having just a clean audit on the side of the department. But let me come on the side of the CETA chair. I can hear that the caretaker is trying very hard to push. But yeah, on my side, let me say, I don't want to be happy when I see the pink color on the side of the CETA. I'm sure they understand very well what is the meaning of that color. They've taught us the side of the Auditor General to say, be happy when you see the green color. So I think they understand what I'm saying, because there is this issue of regressing on the side of the sitter, on their side of the opinion. And I can hear now the caretaker is saying they gonna appoint next month the CFO in order that to try and sustain and pushing on the side of their financial statements, because that's where the key challenge is there on the side of the of CETA. You can see on the side of the internal controls also, under the record keeping, on the daily, monthly, and control, on the review and monitor these compliance is a serious challenge on the side of the off-seater. So one thing that is worse is this irregular expenditure. But I can hear now caretaker is promising to say they will work very hard in order that they will see themselves even before next year, April, try to resolve all these challenges that we can see that indeed on the side of me, I was not happy at all on the side of CETA, because you can see that there were serious challenges. On the side of the SCM supply chain, there are challenges also there, but now let's give the benefit of the doubt, as they are saying. Come to the side of the assurance provided also. You'll see that there on the senior management, it was a little bit better, but when coming to the accounting officer, the executive authority, on the audit committee also, it was a little bit challenged. So we are expecting the improvement, caretaker. As I can see that you are giving you yourself your short space of time to try to change these things, that we can see that it was at least a challenge on the side of the CETA. So we will hear that by next time, maybe when we are meeting, we will never ever say now we are listening. We will want to see the progress as you are presenting to us now, because this thing of keep on saying we are just raising to the entities the issue of consequences and then keeping quiet, just motivating and massaging them, I think is the challenge that you see. The entity will never push with that speed that it needs to push. So we will keep on our eyes on the CETA as we are saying those things that we will look after. We are expecting them to bring a change indeed on a serious note. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Honorable Kubeka. I would now allow responses between the CETA and the department.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I will start from my side, and this is how I will start. I will start especially on the questions that have been raised, I think, a number of times by Honorable Kubeka and Honorable Faku, just on monitoring or for set-top boxes. I just want to we will be coming to present as well, just on the around outer next week, also around the challenges that we're experiencing on the ground with implementation or with respect to communities, because this is a community also led project. Yes, there is a monitoring that is happening, but we do not want to pretend that it's smooth sailing. There are challenges that are being experienced by the team that is there. So I just want to leave it at that, that there are challenges. So I do not want to say all is rosy. So I just want to say that to the honorable members. Yes, we are strengthening implementation, and that implementation with the partnership that we have with Centec and Rosasa and everyone else, but that we could do better, especially with our engagements within the community, just to have just good buy-in, especially as we go further within those communities, because communities differ as we move along. Then there was a question that was asked with respect to digital, and I know the question to digital, and I want to ask this answer this question in a number of ways, but I want to say that the way that the department did receive a legal opinion on the issues around CIPC registration on CETA, that said we require, CETA requires a minimum of 3 directors in order for it to be fully compliant, to be a proper structure for purposes of governance in terms of the Companies Act. As a result, then DDG Shelembe was appointed together with the executive caretaker, Mr. Luvuyo Gesisi, and the acting CFO. Mr. Ndeka, I know the next question then would be, how is Mr. Shelembe exercising oversight above CETA? For purposes of the department, the responsible DDG for purposes of CETA is DDG Bashologu, who is a DDG that is actually, to our credit, has a IT background. He comes from Transnet. He hasn't come before this this August committee. So we have that he is responsible for any CETA related oversight matters. So we've taken that responsibility outside the judicial and there for purposes of the department. So you would note that this decision is taken against the background that says CETA is required to be repurposed. CETA is has to be an entity that has to be fit for purpose, has to be agile, has to take decisions that are quicker, that especially for purposes of making sure that it is it's responsive. And we've seen this especially during this period, and this committee, we've come through this committee chair of the National Assembly, that during this coverage, that we've seen how responsive CETA has been, and we're grateful for the interventions that they've taken, the turnaround times, I mean, just having those 3 members